Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about waiting. Tonight, we're going to hear stories of waiting from Sarah and Hannah and Isaiah. Next week, we're going to learn what it means to wait as we wait with Mary. The following week, we're going to learn what it means to wait by thinking about what it meant to wait for Joseph. Today, we wait with John. Before we do so, let us pray. Life is full of waiting. We are always waiting for something. Something in our lives for you, for your light, for your peace, for your hope. We long for your transformation. Help us, O Lord, during this Advent season to learn how to wait for you, to wait for us, to wait for others. Amen. Years ago, while in seminary, I once helped lead a mission trip that went to Kunda, Estonia. That summer, I interned at a Methodist church in Michigan. Each summer, students were assigned to churches all over the United States while in seminary, and the church I got placed in had strong ties to the Methodist churches in Estonia. Every year, the church organized a trip or two to help different churches there. That year, a small, newly planted church reached out and asked if our team would help them renovate their church building. All we knew is that there was going to be a lot of work to be done. So we set aside 3 weeks to help with the renovations. We imagined our trip was going to be a smaller version of a Habitat for Humanity project. They were going to have to buy some materials, some paint, repair a few things, complete a few small projects, something that would leave a lasting mark on that congregation. Oh, were we in for a surprise once we reached Kunda. A little information about the city. Kunda is about 60 miles from the border of Russia. It's a very small town, 4,000 people maybe. And it has one major industry which everyone works at, cement. All the buildings in Kunda are the same ugly color, that gray slab. The only reason anyone would ever venture to Kunda is because there they have the world's largest cement museum. The museum recently made the list of the top 10 weirdest places in all of the world. During World War II, Russia overtook this town and set up base there in order to control all the concrete distribution throughout the region. Today, if you visit Kunda, you'll still find dozens of abandoned KGB barracks. Most of the barracks have remained untouched for decades, completely abandoned. Well, the Methodist Church in Kunda decided to purchase one of them a few years back. This is now the home of their church. I can't begin to articulate the horrors of that barrack that is now a Methodist church. It was in complete and utter disarray. Floorboards were missing. Walls were covered in layers and layers of newspaper. The majority of the rooms were completely inaccessible because when the Russians left that region, they dumped everything that they could into those barracks. There was even an old broken-down Volkswagen somehow stuffed into one of the barracks' back rooms. Only the hallway and one of the rooms had begun to been cleared out. That one room had been converted into their sanctuary. And it was actually kind of nice. New floors were recently installed and the walls had been repainted, but it still looked like a KGB barrack. So our thought was that the church was going to have us continue renovating the space so it looked more like a sanctuary. Unfortunately, the congregation, they had other plans. We quickly learned that they had a vision for this entire barrack, a fellowship hall, a kitchen, a storage room, a nursery, and a bunch of Sunday school classrooms. Our job was to demolish as much of that barrack as we could in those 3 weeks. Literally every single day, they assigned us a new area to demolish. Just when we thought we might actually be able to create something, they told us to deconstruct some other area in that barrack. Everything that could be torn up, we did. The floors, the walls, even the ceilings in a number of rooms. The ceilings, they were especially tricky because above that first story was layers of dirt, dead animals, and other junk that accumulated over 50 years. True story. While working on those ceilings, one day we stumbled upon a few boxes of old KBG gas masks. Those gas masks, we found out, worked much better than the flimsy masks that we bought to keep out all the dust and dirt and debris out of our nose and our mouth. So that's what we used every day as we were demolishing that barrack. I remember spending days with my gas mask on, standing on thin beams above the ceiling, knocking the ceiling with inches of dirt on top of it down to the base level. Those 3 weeks, they were some of the most tiring, draining days of my life. When we left Kunda, we all noted how the church was now 10 times worse than when we got there. Ceilings were left open. Instead of concrete floors in a few rooms, all there was just dirt. Many of the walls were left partially torn. I know we left them with some money and plenty of supplies to help them begin the rebuilding phase. And oh, were they grateful for the work that we did. But it was extremely unsatisfying leaving this church in such an obliterated state. As human beings, we have this desire stirring within us to construct things that are nice and beautiful, to make things that are permanent and lasting something more than our fragile lives. We all want to make a name for ourselves, to leave a mark on this world. And one of the primary ways that we do this is through building and making things. The story of Babel shows us that this is part of our fallen human tendencies. We like to turn ruins into beautiful, magnificent structures. And as human beings, we found a number of good ways of redeeming and using this fallen tendency. I think of all the wonderful work that organizations like Habitat for Humanity and Mennonite Disaster Services do for people all over our world. But in Estonia, we did the exact opposite. And this was difficult. It was unsatisfying. We decimated that barrack, leaving it in complete ruins. We cut down their church, and all that was left was stumps. This week, as I was reflecting on the life of John the Baptist, as I found myself listening again to his words, I was transported back to those 3 weeks in Estonia. For John the Baptist teaches us that Advent is a season which more closely resembles the work that we did, the demolition work in Kunda, than, say, the work of Habitat for Humanity or MDS. For John the Baptist proclaims that Advent is a season of axes and chainsaws. It's a period of deconstruction. A time where we closely analyze our lives and cut down the parts that need to be left behind. Advent is about taking a chainsaw to our lives, to our worlds, and making stumps. Our text this morning notes the arrival of John the Baptizer. I don't know about you, but I find John to be both fascinating and terrifying. He is just so odd and peculiar that I can't help but be drawn to him. At his core, he opposes the dominant culture. He's a figure on the margins, one who dwells in the forgotten places of empire, and at the same time, his message is completely terrifying. John appears at a time when the people of Israel have been waiting a long time for God's arrival, for a new David. Another king that would restore Israel to its splendor among the nations. And part of John's message is that that day it's at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It's understandable why the people flock to him. The people of Jerusalem, they leave the comforts of their city because the thing they want more than anything is for God to break into this world to set them free and to restore the fortunes of Jerusalem. But here's where things get interesting. Usually when you think of preparing for a kingdom, you think of a palace or a fortified city or perhaps even a well-trained army that can overtake one's enemies. But for John, preparation begins with repentance. Now, repentance means more than simply saying sorry. It means more than feeling remorse and regret. Repentance involves action. It involves a turning away from the wrongs that plague one's life. As Karl Barth once stated, repentance involves standing under God's judgment for one's actions. It means embracing God's wrath in one's life. Instead of turning to one's neighbor and analyzing how their actions are bringing about God's wrath, repentance means gazing deeply into our own lives and asking, which ways am I still enmeshed in sin? In what ways do I still need to be purified by God's fire? For John, the advent of the Messiah means devastation and collapse. Advent means things are going to be crushed, demolished, cut down. For John, the coming of the Messiah looks a lot like someone taking a chainsaw to much of the world around them. He says as much in Matthew's gospel this morning. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown in the fire. John goes on to talk about what the Messiah's reign will look like when the Messiah comes. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. For John, Advent is the season of fire and chainsaws and axes. For John understood that Jesus is a fire that burns through this world of sin that has imprisoned us. God is a purifying fire, affirming what is good and burning away all the corruption that disfigures our world, all that desecrates the goodness of life. The advent of Jesus means a burning away of all the systems and structures, all the attitudes and ways of life that set up walls and fences and borders that obstruct God's love for our world. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. This means the season of Advent is supposed to look a lot like the work that we did those years ago in Estonia. It means tearing out the walls, the floors, and the ceilings of our lives that have been corrupted by sin. It means taking a crowbar to the places in our lives that are not bearing good fruit and prying them out. Advent is a season where we deeply gaze into ourselves, into our souls, and attempt to discover all the areas in which we are still deceiving ourselves, and then taking a chainsaw to these deceptions, to these falsehoods, so that stumps may be left behind. This Advent, the question John beckons us to ask of ourselves, where are the places that sin has entered into our lives? Where are the spaces that I need to allow God's judgment to enter into? In what ways are my life, in what ways are this church community still locked into old patterns, into darkness, into slavery, into not being home with itself or with God or with other people? And as we face the depths of our souls, as we look at ourselves honestly, we must, in the words of John the Baptist, pick up the axe that is lying at the root of the tree and create stumps in the places that are no longer producing good fruit. We must chop down, cut to the ground, the spaces in our lives that darkness and slavery remain. This is how we are called to wait for Jesus' coming. For according to John, it is only through repentance, only through the creation of stumps in our lives and in our world, that we prepare for the way of the Lord. Making stumps, that's how we hospitably welcome Jesus Christ into our midst. And this is what Isaiah tells us. That it is through humiliated remains, that it is through stumps, that it is through things that which we cut down and that a sprout, a sign of hope will shoot forth. In Isaiah's words, a shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It is from humiliated remains that God brings forth new life. It was from the stumps of Israel, from that little irrelevant town of Bethlehem, that Jesus first broke into human history and created new life. And it is in the stumps of our world, the stumps of our lives, that Jesus continues to break forth and share his transforming power with us. Advent is about making stumps, because this is how we wait for the coming of our Lord. Our job isn't to bring about God's kingdom in this world. That's God's job. Our job is to create stumps, both in our lives and in our world. Our job is to continually demolish all the way sin continues to creep into our lives. And as we do so, we trust that from these stumps, that God will do what God has always done. God will create shoots that spring up that produce new life in us. From our stumps, God will reform our world with the peace of Christ. Creating stumps, burning away the parts of our lives, of us, of our world, this is how we make straight paths for Jesus. This is how we wait, how we prepare for Christmas Day, when Jesus comes and transforms both our lives and our world again. Amen.